Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and I am joined, as usual, by my colleague and neighboring, Adam Barlow Thompson.
Hello, good neighbors. We are just doing a quick intro today because we are doing a rebroadcast of a February 7th, 2019 episode with Rhonda Stevens.
It's a great interview. It was very fun, and we learned a lot. So we're giving it to you again.
Enjoy the episode.
My sister has this funny joke, and it's not original to her, but she has this funny little jingle that she would sing, and it's like, a good neighbor, stay over there. And I think every time I greet a neighbor or go see a neighbor, knock on a door, my biggest fear has always been, these people don't want to see me. They don't want to talk to me. I am going to be a nuisance. And that is just, every time I go, I have that little jingle play in my head, and I'm like, Rhonda, read the room, stay over there. But I have never regretted pushing back against that, though. I have enjoyed every neighbor encounter I have had when I've pushed past that awkwardness. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any, I want to say tricks of the trade, you know, do you have any like, okay, here's, like, how do you push through that voice or to get yourself out there?
So I know it's kind of hard to tell yourself to do this, but literally what I do beforehand is I make a plan. Today I'm going to bake cookies and deliver them to the neighbor cattywampus to me. And then I don't think. I go, I bake cookies, and I just run out the door and deliver them. If I think too hard about it, I don't. I won't follow through it because I amp myself up too much. I get too nervous, and I start to think of all the ways that it could go wrong, or, you know, what if they get mad at me and they yell in my face? And that has never happened, you know? So I literally shut her down upstairs. Don't think, just do.
Oh my gosh. That is the best.
Yes, I love it.
I mean, because you're naming it so well. Like, all of that is a myth.
Yeah.
And it's a myth that tells great stories. And if I allow myself to, I can come up with 1,000 stories of why this is a bad idea. So I'm just going to turn that off. Yeah.
Even now that I enjoy, you know, I have experienced these neighboring moments where I do go out and see neighbors. Even now, I still feel that anxiety and that nervousness of, I don't really want to go talk to a stranger and knock on a stranger's door, even though it could be a neighbor who I talk to on a regular basis, and they're no longer a stranger. I don't want to go knock on somebody's door and bother them.
Yeah.
So it's, I still struggle with that, and it's just something you have to turn off and push through.
That is great.
That's the best advice I've heard.
And that's not to make it sound like a chore. Like, I just have to trudge through this. Yeah. I'm just powering through the anxiety, and it's still a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yep, I love it.
I don't know what else we need here, Matt. That was podcast gold there, buddy. It's not going to get better than this.
Are you kidding me? This could go on for an hour, I'm sure.
You know, since you've been intentionally doing this for a while now, is there a story that kind of helps encapsulate your experience or that you really connect with or really love sharing?
My absolute favorite experience so far was the very first assignment I gave myself, or I took from your recommendations, and that was find a reason to celebrate and then do it. So that was back in September, and I just went straight to Google and Googled random holidays and found out that in a couple of weeks, September 28th, I believe it was, is National Good Neighbor Day. And I thought, what better time to jump right in and get this neighborhood animating, you know, jump started. So the first thing I did was I went on Nextdoor and posted about it. And I was surprised about the amount of response I got there. There were quite a few people who were interested in going and as well as helping out, you know, offering to provide popsicles and things like that. One neighbor in particular said that they would buy enough hot dogs and hot dog buns for 40 people. And then anything beyond that, we could get ourselves. I could see that our neighbors were also excited about neighboring. They just needed somebody to kickstart it. Once it came through, well, actually, after I posted on Nextdoor, then I wanted to really reach to people on a personal level. So I actually wrote out little note cards with all of the information. There was nothing fancy about them. It didn't cost me any money. I actually just took printer paper I already had and cut them down to note card size, wrote down the information, and went door to door and passed them out. And that was my first door to door neighboring experience, which turned out surprisingly well. I didn't have any negative reactions from anybody. I did have a few people who hid, but I didn't have any negative reactions. And even those awkward moments where I could see people walking away from their chair to go hide, even those awkward moments, it didn't really deter me from wanting to neighbor. So the night came and we had 30 to 40 people, I believe, show up. In the middle of it, my husband had to leave and go buy more hot dogs. And we had s'mores, hot apple cider, we had a campfire. And it was just so heartwarming seeing all of my neighbors walking from up to two blocks away to come meet their other neighbors. And there was no, I sat back and just looked around quite a bit that evening. And I didn't see anybody left out, sitting in a corner not talking. People were intermingling and neighboring themselves almost effortlessly. It just happened.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's the exponential growth of neighboring.
Yes.
Where you didn't have to create each individual conversation that happened that night. You just gave people a space, initiated it, and said, take off, and all of it happened.
Right.
Well, I think what's interesting in that story is when you said, like, you just need somebody to kickstart it. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like, I mean, all of our neighbors, or, you know, most of our neighbors probably have the same jingle in their head, right?
That's right.
Like a good neighbor, stay over there.
Yes.
And if there's just one person who says, I want to get together, that's enough to, like, overcome the jingle.
Right.
And get people. And then they're, like, excited and enjoy it. And it's cool.
I had several neighbors that evening thanking me for doing something like this and telling me I've wanted to attend block parties and I've wanted our neighborhood to do things like this. So thank you for putting this together. And it was just amazing to see the excitement coming from other people when it came to neighboring.
Yeah.
It's there. We just gotta find it. My parents were both excellent hosts, very hospitable, and they loved hosting any and all kinds of events. They still do to this day. They host regular events at their house. But I wasn't always prone to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through a fertility struggle, and through that, it was several years long, and through that, I lost a lot of friendships, and my own self kind of put myself in isolation, not just through friends stepping away, but through me dwelling in my own hurt and not letting other people in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came out on the other side of that fertility struggle, I was so lonely and isolated.
Rhonda's experience of isolation is actually a data-driven fact. Researchers are realizing that isolation and loneliness are much greater issues than we have realized before. One study, done by Brigham Young, even found that loneliness and isolation impact our health as much as smoking cigarettes or obesity. The journalist Elizabeth Renzetti poignantly describes what Rhonda had named for us. Renzetti wrote a piece on loneliness, and in that article she says, "Being alone is not the same as being lonely, of course. Plenty of people are happy to sit in their studies, play World of Warcraft, and not see another human being for days. The problem arises when the lonely become incapacitated by their situation, losing all sense of how to reconnect and withdraw even further in a wearying circle.
I didn't know how to get back in there and make meaningful friendships again. So I started by, I had another friend who was hurting, and I started by throwing her a She's a Jolly Good Fellow party. And that really sparked the flame within me to, I knew what it hurt. I knew that hurt of isolation and loneliness, and I don't want other people to experience that. So just finding things that I think other people might enjoy and hosting that just is, it's a blast. It brings me joy. So
it just makes me think about that kind of suffering fuels compassion. Like, you don't look on your neighbors as just people. Like, you see the potential of people who could be hurting from isolation for any number of reasons. And then, and that voice is louder than the jingle in your head.
That's right.
That says, I should just stay over here because that pain is real.
And it's also like crazy, like the irony of like, on a given block, there are people geographically really close to each other suffering in the same way, and their suffering both is keeping them from interacting but is the thing that could bring them together. Like, I just want to like break down that stupid jingle that's keeping them from seeing each other, and like, you guys could be great. This would be awesome.
And you thought we had gold 10 minutes ago. Ha! I mean, you for sharing that. That was really, really vulnerable. I appreciate. Yeah.
Jeez. It was really tough for me not to swear on the podcast just now. I don't know if we're allowed to do
that. It was hard for me not to cry.
We respond to things differently. It's fine.
Yeah, you can cuss. That's fine. There's a child in the room. I don't know about that
That's
part.
True. That's true.
Anything else that you wanted to, any story or anything else, any point that you'd want to make?
The only other point I can think of is one thing that helps me is knowing that that anxiety I feel and the awkwardness there is in breaking down these barriers and going to meet with your neighbors is that that's not a unique problem. Your neighbors feel the same way. They feel nervous and awkward and anxious, and they may want to break down that barrier too and come over to your house. But at some point, something's got to give, and somebody's going to have to take the first step.
That was a rebroadcast of our interview with Rhonda Stevens. It was released in February 2019. To find that episode or other episodes, check out our website, www.neighboringmovement.com.
That's wrong. That's not our website. It's neighboringmovement.org.
I'm leaving that in.
Okay.
I'm Matthew Johnson. Thanks for listening, and happy neighboring.